This episode of the All Range Mode Podcast is brought to you by Audible.
Listeners of the All Range Mode Podcast, Audible recommends... Why eat me?
Alright. Hello and welcome to the 41st... First... And that will be the end of that.
41!
Alright. Hello and welcome to the All Range Mode Podcast. This is episode 41. You're here with me, TJ, and to my right is...
Hi, this is Joe.
This is Chad. Guess what? I don't know.
All Range Mode!
First, we're going to start with news. So, seen anything or done anything special? Getting any fights?
No.
I got a new phone. Joe had the fight today.
It was just trash.
Yeah.
Trash people.
They're white trash.
Yeah, they didn't like that I parked in front of their house.
That's my parking spot. Get out of it. Get out of it.
But you know what? Like, again, I immediately reduced myself to, I played stupid. As if I didn't know what they wanted from me, and I expected them to be able to communicate that clearly and kindly.
Well, yeah, you know,
I was asking a lot of them.
That's not that much. That's not a lot to ask.
But they wanted me to move my car, but they never said, "Can you please move your car?"
Yeah, you went about it kind of in a vulgar, like a dick way, because they were being dicks about it as well.
Yeah, so
I would have done the exact same thing.
Yeah, probably me as well.
Like, but then I would have moved because had I left, like we did.
Well, that's how I felt. Like, if I left my car there, it was bad news.
Yeah.
So, eventually...
The guy threatened something, right? He was like...
No, he's just like, see what happens when you're gone. I don't know. I mean, like, fuck.
Really?
So, what do you do? So, I just moved my car, and they
I know
won.
Where you live.
You know, they didn't need to practice any sort of common courtesy or anything like that. They just were dicks, and they got their way, which is fine, because, like I was telling Chad when I was getting into the car, I'm coming here, and I'm so fucking excited to do another episode of the show.
Yay!
So, I mean, I'm leaving to happiness. I'm sure that they are not as happy as I am. I'm consider myself a pretty happy person.
Yeah.
Sure, so I get to walk away.
They hate their stupid little dog.
From that experience, yeah. So, yeah, a moment of anxiety there before we got here. Oh, and then in the tunnel, it was
oh my God,
backed
yeah.
up.
Really?
Tunnel was all backed up, and my car has a tendency to overheat when it idles. And by tendency, I mean it happens every time.
in the close confines of the tunnel?
Yeah. So we're going through, and like we pull down. We already paid. We're going like into the tunnel right where you can see like it's backed up all the way. I stop. I'm like, I can't do this. The car can't do this. And
I'm just like, we already paid. Like, we're in. There's no turning back.
So I just I turned it off, put it in neutral, and we were just like, we coasted halfway through the tunnel.
Yeah.
And
good trade.
Yeah. We might have gotten a new listener out of it. The toll person. Not the toll person.
He's a border cop.
Yeah, the border police. He asked us what we were doing. We said podcast. And he jumped on it. Just like, oh, video games? Huh? Platforming? Strategy? What do you talk about?
See, we need little cards or stickers.
He wrote it down. Exactly. He was like, what's it called?
Oh, wow.
He's
nice.
Like, I'll check it out. He's like, oh, my God. He's like, yeah, my friends wanted me to do a Game of Thrones one.
Next time you come through,
like,
you
yeah, man.
Get like little shirts made up. And they'll know you.
Take it.
TJ, what's going on with your chili cook-off thing on Sunday?
Having a chili cook-off. It was kind of just, Jerry's like, we have to have something at the end of the summer, get everyone together before the weather gets real shit, right?
Thanks, Jerry.
And then, we always talked about chili cook-off for the longest time. We're going to do chili cook-off.
Well, the very first episode of All Range Mode, I talked about your barbecue.
Okay.
And it's like, it's been a year, but we should do
well, we always
every
talked
6 months.
Oh, yeah. We always talked about doing the chili cook-off in the fall. I guess I kind of just dropped the ball on the barbecue sauce annual, right?
Yeah.
So... At least now we're doing the chili cook-off. It's hopefully going to be nice weather, and so you're going to have to cook chili. Yeah, Emma and I will have it. If Tony does, that's four. That's
I'll bring enough for everyone to have a small dish of my chili. Yeah, Shelby and I are making...
Don't spoil it.
No, why not?
Because I want to be surprised.
Hold on, we'll be right now. Be ready to be surprised.
No, I'm not surprised.
I'm saying it. I'm saying it.
He wants to close his eyes.
I
want to
be surprised
his mouth.
When I see it. Going, holy shit, that's mine?
I don't care. I'm going to say it anyway. I'm ruining...
Plug your ears, Chad.
Yeah, spoiler alert. I'm bringing steak, taco, chili. Woo! little dish with sour cream on top, shredded cheese, and then jalapeno Tabasco.
Wow.
Steak cubes in the chili.
Hold on, hold on. So are you preparing it for each person?
Yes, that's the other thing.
It'll be one scoop in a little dish. Oh, and do I need to bring bowls for that?
I mean, I have bowls. They're big.
That sounds pretty specific.
I will prepare it. Okay, yes. One spoonful.
So each person has to prepare it.
Right. Yeah. Okay, if you recall with the barbecue sauce thing, the idea was to have like different mediums to test the barbecue sauce. We had like wings. We had chicken of some sort. I'm going to do the same thing with chili. I'm going to have hot dogs, so you can put chili on a hot dog. I'm going to have tortilla chips, so you can put chili on the chips. I don't know if that's going to fuck you up or whatnot.
But, I'll be all right. Okay. I'll be all right with that. Next year, the first annual all-range mode chili cook-off live broadcast.
You got to cook it while we're there.
It'll be an awful episode.
Well, what I was going to talk about, just briefly, because this is the only thing new that I've seen, is the movie This Is the End. Have you guys seen that?
I've seen it.
Have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it yet.
I'm going to say not as good as the reviews suggest. Really? Definitely good. Very funny. Okay? But it's just... I've seen a few reviews, and all of them are like, they must have low expectations or something, because they all thought it was just the greatest movie ever. So, like I said, very good movie. It's just, if you felt it was very hyped, maybe lower your expectations a little bit, and you'll really enjoy it.
I feel like that movie, you know, you have to be in the right state of mind.
Yeah, that might have played
a lot of people around,
writing
alcohol,
laugh,
or,
no real
weed or something. Like
paying attention.
Yeah, where you're kind of just watching and having a ball with your friends.
Yeah,
that would definitely help.
Breaking down comedy movies, like you can't. I don't know about watching comedies alone.
I've watched Billy Madison.
Well, yeah, Emily and I watched it
a lot of times by myself.
Yeah, but you're just reciting it 2 seconds before it plays out.
Yeah,
and loving it.
That's true. But you know what? I've wanted to see that, but I've always confused it with The World's End.
Yeah.
And I still haven't seen that, and I could, like, that was my most anticipated movie of the summer, and I haven't seen it.
It's crazy.
What?
That movie didn't look that good.
Yeah, but it's got perfection behind it.
Peg and Frost or whatever?
Peg Frost and...
Wright?
Yeah, Edgar Wright.
Hey, and your Martin Freeman character that you didn't remember who he was. Bilbo.
Martin Freeman?
On the last episode...
Martin, you said Marlon Freeman.
No fucking way.
Yeah,
I said Martin Freeman.
Yeah, he did say that. Because
No, sorry. You said Morgan...
No, I didn't.
He absolutely did. I'm positive.
I know who Martin
Freeman is. I re-listened
Freeman
to it.
Okay, well, it's on fucking... It's on.
I listened
to
it today. You didn't say Martin.
There was a lot of talking over each other.
Dan said Martin, and then I said Freeman.
And I said Lawrence.
Martin Freeman?
Yeah, and you said, who's Martin Freeman?
It was very quickly dismissed.
Not a big deal. It happens to the best of us.
Huge deal. I know who Martin Freeman is.
Okay, you didn't hear it. Moving on.
It's on the air.
Anyways. Okay, on to the next.
Yeah, there was a lot of talking over each other that part. Okay, last week I talked about how I haven't got an iPhone yet, and I forget what the hell I got last week. It was like I bought one that was locked to Rogers or locked to a different carrier. This week, I spent $500 on a stolen iPhone that I couldn't use.
Really?
Yeah, so person I bought it from wouldn't help me out. Just, oh, sorry. Like, whatever. I got scammed too. And I was like, oh, great, thanks. And so I just put it up on Kijiji, like full disclosure, like, hey, I bought this phone, ended up being stolen, I can't use it, what will you give me? And I lost like $120 off of it.
Yeah.
But I met up with some straight shooting dude yesterday, and I got a new phone, iPhone 5.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's a black iPhone 5.
I want it.
And 32G for $450, and I'm pretty excited.
Welcome back.
It feels great to be back. Today I was just constantly... I was walking around school listening to music, like, texting you guys, like, oh, this is awesome! I loved it. It was great. Yeah.
So where's Mandy fit in all this?
She doesn't have a phone yet, but...
I screwed her over, basically.
I've been looking. There's no one sells Fido phones. She has Fido, and, like, man.
What's the parent company?
Rogers.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's bullshit.
Yeah, it's...
Rogers sucks.
Kudo Telus, Fido Rogers.
Well, there's one question from Colton, but it's kind of for Dana. I don't know how far you are. Colton is a friend of mine from Windsor. He was just saying...
What up, Colton?
Well, he wanted to... Are you far enough in GTA where you've seen, like, the controversial, like, scene?
You're talking about
there's
the torture scene
with
Trevor?
Not that big a deal.
Oh, you did see it?
Yeah.
All right, well, we can address it now. I mean, like, I don't know anything about it.
Yeah,
should we wait for Dan?
No.
Or do you need like
it's old news, man.
No, man. Yeah. Because it's not a big deal, we don't need to...
Dan's punished.
Unless Dan has a different take on it, but my opinion...
Dan can address it next week.
What did you hear about it? Maybe start with that, and then I'll tell you what it was.
The only thing I heard about it was...
That it was controversial.
Yeah, exactly. On the IGN review, they said there was a scene that was a little bit... it was a torture scene that some people might be uncomfortable with. And then I just kind of kept hearing that there was a part in the game that was controversial.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, he's saying, I'll read you the question. I wanted to know the guy who didn't get there yet opinion, that he's talking about Dan, the torture scene, and your opinions on how the media is reacting to the game in general. The only media thing that I know is I've heard, like, numbers, but everyone talking about how much money it's made, things like that, and how much money it costs.
Amazing.
I read that GTA is the, like, most money-making video game series of all time.
Absolutely.
I read that on a...
But don't you hear that about every
thing? It's bigger than Call of Duty.
No, there's always slight different categories, right? Like, they always qualify it with, like, in this region, or on this console, or of this generation.
It just says of all time.
Well, that's what I remember reading on, it was USA Today, actually had an article on GTA 5, like the day before it came out.
They made it
the most profitable?
$1 billion in 3 days.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So they more than tripled what it cost to make the game.
They made their budget back in pre-orders.
That's so crazy.
So the game was paid off, like they're just working at a... I don't want to say it. What's the opposite of at a loss? They're working in like in the plus. They're working out of revenue.
Yeah.
Before the game came out.
Yeah, that's true, eh?
It's disgusting.
Before it goes into printing, like, all right, let's start making
that game.
One.
That game's getting announced for Xbox
One
and PS4 in the next 2 months.
And it's going to sell millions more.
Yeah.
It's going to look better and sell millions
more. I don't think it'll look better. I think it'll be the exact same.
It'll look better.
I agree.
You won't have to install it. It'll run off the disc.
Why would they do that? Why would they put any more money into it?
They will. That like obviously it's going to look better on like PC.
They can throw it into an ad saying it's been enhanced.
It'll be digital download only, maybe with like some sort of move control or no, like the share control. Oh my god, GTA Online sounds remarkable. I just picture the public events being insane. Huge, you know,
like what they
riots,
showed, what they showed in Destiny. It's like this is a public event, and that thing like breaks through space barrier and just like.
Actually, my hope that
everyone goes and attacks it.
My hope is that Destiny public event is on the low end of how awesome the public events are in that game. Like I want battalions.
Yeah.
And it's like get your shit together, or we're all gonna die.
You gotta wonder where the hardware's at, right?
I'm skeptical about that game. I'm waiting to be blown away.
Yeah.
Like, I like the idea. I trust Bungie. You know, I know that it's going to work, like, from an engineering standpoint and from balancing. I know there's going to be cool weapons, and I'm a certain type of player, so it's important for me to align myself with another type of player so we can get through dungeons together, you know, because I won't cut it by myself.
Yeah.
I trust that all that stuff is there. But from what I've actually seen, they haven't shown me that this game is going to be as good as I want it to be. So I'm skeptical. I mean, we're all going to buy it.
Yeah,
which would be awesome.
Yep.
That's the game. It was, what are you playing Destiny on?
Moving on.
There's your question answered, Colton.
No, hold on. Sorry. Reversing backwards through the tangents. The torture scene in GTA, basically, that's what we started on. Okay.
Yeah.
Because there was user feedback. The guy wants to know, I assume. Or he's patronizing us. Thank you very much for that. It's. I felt it wasn't that big a deal. Like maybe I wasn't that into it. Like I was watching on my little side screen, whatever. I had my headphones on. There's like four basic things you do for torture. You got like a battery with like those leads or whatever.
Oh, you have to do it?
Yeah.
It's not like a cutscene.
No.
It's interactive?
It's interactive. You're switching between two different characters because GTA 5 is all about switching, right?
Yeah.
So one guy's following up leads that this guy's giving you and the other guy's torturing him for information. So one of them's like...
That's actually kind of cool.
It is really cool. It's like really in concept. Cool. It was kind of neat, like the way it played out. Yeah. And by the end, you find out who the guy is based on your torture. And it's like, oh, it's this guy. And you end up shooting somebody in like at a party through this, you know, this building with all windows in it. It was kind of neat the way it played out. But as for the torture and like pushing the envelope, I feel it wasn't that big a deal. Like there was a car battery and you like, you stick the clamps on his nipples and you shock him until he almost dies. Okay. It's like, whatever. It wasn't that graphic.
Yeah.
You do like a waterboarding thing. Where you put like a cloth over his face and you pour water on top.
That's a touchy subject in the States.
It is. Because
waterboarding?
Waterboarding.
Because it's legal for the government to do and they've done it to people. Apparently, I don't understand it. I'm going to research it because I'm curious. But you put a cloth over someone's face and you pour water on them and maybe it makes them feel like they're drowning.
On their mouth.
Yeah, yeah. And they feel like they're drowning? Is that the...
Immediately you just fucking lose it. I guess, like, the most people will last, like, 15 seconds before they go completely insane. It just messes with your entire psyche.
Did you ever see the Mythbusters where they tried Chinese water torture?
No.
No.
It's probably a similar concept.
Was it the Asian guy that did it?
No, Carrie did it, and then Tori, like, the...
I seem to remember him freaking out.
Carrie was the first one in. She was strapped down, and she was like, can we stop this? And she, like, just burst into tears, like, after, like, 2 minutes.
My God.
They have obviously perfected the art of torture and, like, legal torture, air quotes, right? So it's obviously very effective. And there's a lot of controversy over it in the States, so...
I watched something recently. I think his name was, like, Mad Cow or something. He was a radio jockey. And, I think his name is Mad Cow.
Okay, whatever.
But, he was talking a whole bunch of shit when they first started talking about, you know, like, the government's doing this Guantanamo Bay or whatever, that they're waterboarding people, and it was a hot subject. He was saying, like, this is bullshit, it's not that bad. And then he subjected himself to waterboarding, and he lasted 3 seconds. And he got up, and he was like, I'm sorry for everything I've ever said about it. That was fucking horrible. Like, you can watch it. It's on YouTube.
You know, when the first instance of, like, oh, the government's been doing this came out, and people were like, what the fuck? Who cares? Probably tons of teens did it to each other and all this shit.
Yeah.
And it probably just blew up from there, where, like, people realized how messed up it is, because it doesn't sound bad, and you wouldn't think of making it illegal, and yet it's just the most horrible thing ever. And maybe that's why it's controversial. Like, maybe I'm just not tapped into that. I never realized that that was a big thing in the States.
So there's also a follow-up to that. He's pretty upset that we said that all games have aged terribly. And, I don't know, I mean, I'm sure not all games have aged terribly. I mentioned Mass Effect because...
I don't know why you said that still.
Well, I knew you were...
It's Mass Effect 2 that has aged pretty bad, I think, because...
It's still such a good game, but what's come out that's better, though, or that's, like...
The only... I feel like it's aged for me because I'm ready for the next chapter. You know, it's like reading the same chapter over and over again.
Yeah.
And I'm so aware of what's happening and, like... It almost feels like a metagame at this point. Like, I'm going into... For achievements.
Yeah.
You were selling it to me, though, and you were trying to, like, prepare me for the mechanics of the game not being as up-to-date as the new mechanics, like the shooting and stuff. And I felt it held up okay. Like,
The combat's definitely better in the third one. The third one, the gameplay is much better.
But are you not worried about the gameplay of the second? Because it seemed like you really were worried about the gameplay when you sold it to me.
And... The first one. The first one's really bad.
Okay, see, I guess I jumped in.
All right, so what doesn't hold up then?
I mean, I had, like, the Mass Effect series just because it's... what really killed the Mass Effect series was the end. It ended. And that's it. That's, like, I no longer have to invest time in growing a character. And it's, like, I don't want to go back because I know how it ends.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what I mean. And it's a very closed loop. So I don't think it's aged in the fact that the gameplay wasn't necessarily the big draw. So, going back to it isn't the most fun. Whereas, like, games that don't age, like Mario games, it's I can play the same level 100 different ways, and like, how good it feels for the gameplay mechanics, that didn't really exist in the Mass Effect series. In Mass Effect 1 and 2. The third one's fine. Third one the multiplayer alone, people are still playing it because it's so good.
It's really
so
good.
Yeah. I don't think it's fair to say a game has aged simply because you know the ending. That's, like, your opinion... Like, what if you played it in 10 years and you had forgotten about that? The question is, would the game still feel as entertaining in general, or overall be as good? You know what I mean?
At that point, I think it all gets down to art direction. Is it...
Not just art. It's art. It's storyline. It is gameplay as well. Like, does
I think
it feel
story,
rigid?
Story is complex story is the first thing that dies. Because as soon as you know how it ends, it's over, right?
Yeah.
I would think...
Nice the Old Republic, boys.
Yeah.
Still the best game of all time. It has not aged.
Okay. That game is aged. Okay. I'm not
no,
going to get
in
that.
It's in a generation where no game is like that anymore.
I suppose.
Every game is built around third-person shooting.
Yeah.
Or, like, Call of Duty quick cutscenes kind of thing.
Well, I mean, we can talk about... we can talk about Wind Waker. I'm recently playing Wind Waker, and it's like... The art style is timeless. Like, I can go back in, and I feel like... just the colors and how vibrant everything is. Like, it's fun to pick up and play and be part of that world.
Yeah.
Plus, I mean, they have made significant improvements, which I kind of want to touch on.
Please do.
Before you move into that, like, just to talk to your point, I wanted to talk about what makes a game timeless. That's just one of the points, in my opinion. When a game is made...
Also sound. sound and score.
Okay, hang on. When a game is made with like graphics that are in the middle of a point, when the game is made with like graphics worse.
Sorry, go ahead.
I'm trying to think, what was the Zelda was one of the first games that came out and they did that. Like, the graphics were way worse than the time for when it came out, and it was kind of like, what are they doing? Why are they making it shittier than they can be? Actually, in fact,
oh, Wind Waker?
Nintendo does this a lot, right? Like, they're focused on gameplay versus graphics.
Yeah.
When a game focuses. I think it might have been Wind Waker.
Wind Waker, the one that was cartoony?
Yeah, like, you know,
it was the best one ever made.
For the longest time, everyone was pushing everything to look as best as it possibly can. And then finally...
Realism, like, realism!
I suppose Nintendo Wii was the first one to kind of say, like, we're... Screw that. We're like, our graphics power isn't that... graphical power isn't that... sorry, Dan. Isn't that amazing? We're going to focus on gameplay, you know what I mean? And when you make a game that you're not caring about making the graphics really look nice, you just want them to kind of age well... then it does age well because you're focusing on other things other than the graphics. You look at games that are like, this is the best thing about this game was how beautiful it looked. But guess what? 2, 3, 10 years later, that game's going to look like shit because every game is going to be that good, right?
Yeah.
So you better rely on gameplay, storytelling, et cetera, et cetera. So Wind Waker kind of had that in its favor because when it came out, it was not focusing on being cutting edge graphics. That's one of the main things I want to talk about, like, with regards to what makes a game timeless. You'll never pick
so
Crysis
I feel 1. Like Xbox has a look, and games, like, five, even in 3 years, you'll be playing 360 games, and it'll be like, this looks like a 360 game. You know, we always tease N64. That's N64 graphics, because every game looked like there was a character builder, and every single company had to go into the character builder and use the same properties. Like,
that's because the best games are Rare games, and Rare use the same engine.
Well,
for every game.
I'm trying to think now. Rare games for N64.
It was Perfect Dark. It was Banjo.
Oh my god.
007.
Oh, it was a 007, yeah.
What's that?
Jet Force Gemini?
Destruction something. What's that?
Blast Corps.
Blast Corps.
One of the best games ever.
Yeah.
I don't know why it wasn't on our top 100 list or whatever the fuck we tried to do. Significant improvements to Wind Waker.
Yeah. Well, hold on. Can I say GoldenEye has aged.
Horribly. Emily joked about that when I was telling her about the topic for tonight.
Yeah.
And I was like, GoldenEye did not age well. Oh my god.
Absolutely not.
You know what's funny? Is I remember playing it like 5, 6, 7 years later, and I was like, this game is still awesome. And then I played it like last year, which is probably 10 years later, you know? And it was horrible.
It's literally like 3 frames a second.
Do you remember watching somebody move around when they were on their knees? Just a floating body?
It's like sliding on ice.
Yeah.
There he is, get him.
And
he's playing his odd job.
If you were swinging at somebody, if you were trying to do the chop on somebody, like, there was no animation for that. It was just two.
But the sound was amazing. That's right.
I'll play it tonight.
Okay, so
sorry, let's get back.
I won't take too much time on Wind Waker.
Yeah, get it top 5.
What's crazy is it stands up so well. And it's not even just the design. The game as a whole is amazing. And I mean, that's a broad statement, but it's great. But the most significant feature, obviously, with Wii U is the gamepad. So it's like it's really opened up a world where the sailing is so much better. You get the wind going north, and it's going to take you like 5 or 6 minutes to get to your destination.
Mm-hmm.
So I just like set my character like sailing north, and then I pick up the gamepad, and it's like I'm charting my map. So it's like I can go in and open all my treasure maps and like go through the map screen live
while
he's sailing. Yeah,
that's awesome.
And like and you can have your inventory screen open while you're playing.
That sounds so, like, so relaxing.
It's amazing. Like there's the new sail where you can go faster and you'll get places obviously faster.
Is it significantly different?
I didn't even get it. I don't care about it, like, because I enjoy that time when it's like I set north, I you know, he starts sailing, and then like the music changes when there's danger around. So it's like, oh, you look up at the screen, it's like, okay, grab the other controller, start like, make sure your
beast comes out of the ocean.
Yeah, make sure you're safe. And then I pick, even when you're running around, you have your inventory opened up. So it's like, you're just like swapping out weapons really quick. If they can pull off some sort of tablet feature, I mean, there's Smart Glass, and I know Sony has their controller with the touch screen. I don't really know how that's going to work, but the Wii U gamepad is amazing. And it's like when you see what a good company can do with it, it really shows off its attributes.
I was really excited that game, for that.
Yeah, so
I still am for them to. Someone's going to realize the potential of that and do something amazing with it.
Yeah.
Touchscreen?
Yeah. The Xbox, what are that glass thing? It's through a phone, right?
The
lag is huge. It's not. No one's going to develop for that.
And it's not mandatory.
Right.
Like, a Nintendo game comes out, it's like, you have to have Wii U or gamepad function.
You're right, you read my mind. I was going to say, like, having that available with the system, like, for example, Zombie U obviously took advantage of that, right? Yeah. You had to, that was the only way to access your inventory was through the gamepad. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Other games can do such cool things with that.
Worst thing
I'm surprised
about
they haven't yet.
It's too bad.
Worst thing about Zombie U being titled Zombie U.
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose.
But
you
are
the zombie.
Chad, I promise you it's the best way to play. And, like, I'm not just trying to sell you on
Nintendo. I'm buying it.
It's amazing.
If I buy it, I probably won't buy a PS4. And, I don't know. I bought Battlefield 3 again. I broke my disc a couple months ago to get away from it, but I bought it again. Played a couple times. I broke a controller in the past week.
Well, you have Wii U and you have PS4. And they each are... It's two separate products. Yes, they both play games, but it's their polar differences. Like, they're polar opposites. They're not opposites, but... You buy one game for this reason, you buy this game. Like, they're two different experiences, that's all.
Yeah, it's actually an interesting problem for Nintendo. If other game consoles had a screen in their controllers, people could make games for multiple consoles and actually make that screen required. But when you make something like Call of Duty, and it's on every console, including Nintendo, the Wii U, you can't put something in the screen that's going to fuck up someone who has Xbox, right? It's actually...
Well, those games are multi-platform. Call of Duty Black Ops, you know, like the
Black Ops.
No, but you can't put an integral part of the video game experience in the gamepad, which is going to be the richest experience, if you don't have a gamepad, right? Yeah. So you actually, the reason Zombie U did such a good job of implementing it is because they only did it on Wii U, right? You can't rely on it and still do it across multiple systems. It's actually an interesting problem. You never really think of that, but if other systems implemented a similar system with a screen and a gamepad, it would actually enhance the games on Wii U, probably.
PS4 has the Vita. Vita's supposed to do the same thing, but I think...
But again, it's not mandatory.
Vita has remote play on it on, like, every game.
Which is an awesome feature, but I don't know if it's worth $200.
Right, but not every PlayStation comes with a Vita. That's a huge disconnect.
No PlayStation.
I never thought about that.
No, yeah, it just simply does not come with it.
Well, yeah, that's... yeah.
Still, that's the problem with the Steam machine, or whatever that they're calling it right now.
Like, thanks.
That whole... What?
Sorry, thanks, Colton, for writing in.
Thanks.
Got some good content out of it.
25 minutes later.
All right, Steambox. Yeah, first of all,
Steambox,
what was the news? I read about it a little bit, because I didn't even know.
The news, so what I've heard is that the Steam OS, there's been three announcements this week that Valve has come out and said. Monday was that Steam has an OS, like a Linux-based operating system.
Yeah.
Wednesday is that there's going to be Steam machines.
Yeah.
And today was the Steam controller.
Okay, what about the controller? Because that's not part of it.
The controller, like, picture an Xbox 360 controller, but in place... Or no, you know what? Picture the Wii U Pro controller where the analog sticks are.
Yeah.
Take out the analog sticks, put in touch pads.
Really?
It's touch pads.
Hmm.
And they've came out and said that it works exactly as a mouse and keyboard would work, but with these touch pads. And it has a touch screen in the middle. I don't get it. It looks really dumb. And It's not even final hardware. So they're like, we're reaching out to the community to get input on what we should do. And with the Steam machine as well, they're basically licensing out the operating system and setting like minimum specs.
Yep.
So any developer, like anyone, like
it's
Samsung
truly
can make it, Mad Cats can make a Steam box.
Even though they're making their own?
Yeah, like just put Steam OS on
it. It's kind of like Android. Ouya is an Android-based thing. It's Android as the base, and on top of that is Ouya.
Yeah.
This is Steam, but they've already put that top layer on top where this is our gaming interface, so it's going to be consistent. To be honest, it's a good idea, I think, as like a bridge between like Xbox, one hardware, one software, and computers,
But there has to be
software.
I think there has to be one thing.
I disagree.
Like multiple SKUs,
honestly,
like, you think is a good idea made by different companies.
Yeah, I do.
Really?
You know what?
It's more variety,
like,
man.
Like Ouya, is made by Ouya.
There's
no multiple Android consoles.
Right, but it's competitiveness created by creating a cheap product that is quality, right? It's like iPhone versus Android. iPhone, you get the specs of iPhone, and there's one. And there's one operating system, right? That's Xbox and the Xbox interface.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I'm an Android guy, so I like Steambox on multiple different hardwares. I can choose to have the same interface, which is the Steam OS.
But how do you know which one is best? Like, how do you know?
You read reviews. You can I don't know, you can buy it, you can return it. You know, like, but the point is, like, you have options. You have competitiveness created in that market by other competitors coming out with the same operating system but different hardware. It sucks because you feel like, oh, a new thing just came out and it's better than the last.
Yeah.
That kind of sucks. But, I mean, you have the same problem with, like I said, any kind of, I will say, Android-based cell
phone. See, there's a breach in the process there. And that's the fact that, you know, AAA titles take years to make and you have to be, you know, you have to be set to one machine. You know, you need to be able to build from the ground up.
You can be set to the operating system with minimum system requirements of the hardware.
Yeah, but then who's your market? Oh, make sure you have this version of Steam Machine, or else our game's not going to run.
No. The minute you develop for minimum system requirements, which can be comparable to Xbox or PlayStation 4.
So it's just a PC that you plug into your TV.
I feel like this thing,
right?
Is,
but
with
the consistent interface, which is the Steam OS.
Any Steam player, any person who has
Steam,
it's
the same way
right
you play
now.
Steam today.
There's I don't play Steam.
No. But okay, you know how Steam exists today. Fine, fuck you.
I do play Steam. I don't like sitting at my computer and going mouse and keyboard. It's uncomfortable.
Two out of the three people in this room are not even interested.
I would like to sit down on my TV.
Help, sure.
Like, man. The thing is, I don't understand the difference between, like, if you're buying a Steam machine that is going to be capable of playing Battlefield 4. Or any of the new games, like the new high quality games, it's gonna cost fucking $900 or $1,000, as much as a gaming PC.
This. Yeah.
And what is the difference of having a PC that does everything a PC does with an HDMI cable going to your TV? You need a Steam box with the Steam controller that's, I don't know, man, made by Mad Catz, like. Like it's, yeah. I know it's early in the
honestly,
obviously the press. The
four or five months ago, I was ready to say Valve cares and they're going to release the best product and it's going to make sense.
And Valve is going to be nowhere
aside from this controller news. Which I
what
never
has
heard
Valve
about.
Done lately for me other than Portal 2 and all the other great games that it comes out with?
Portal 2 was 2 years.
Stick
ago.
To making games.
Yeah, come on with Half-Life 3. I thought today's announcement was going to be Half-Life 3.
Yeah, fuck off. No Half-Life 3. That's bullshit. The fact that Half-Life 3 doesn't exist.
No, we're making a new controller.
Dude, everyone knows there has to be like years between Half-Life games. Like at least a decade.
It's a fantastic idea. I hope this thing comes out and it's just amazing and it cuts into the console market where Nintendo, Microsoft, or Sony didn't really realize something could come in. And it's just like,
No.
Shit, we're...
Xbox and PlayStation, they're all about, they want to make the money, it's proprietary. This is more like, again, it's like Android. It's open, like, you build the hardware, we'll give you it's layering it. You put the operating system on top of it, which is quality, and then everyone can kind of choose and pick. It creates a competitive market that you wouldn't normally have otherwise. Like, there's no one...
Are there apps on your Android phone that don't work? With your Android phone?
No.
Everything works?
I'll tell you one thing. You downloaded...
Scale?
Only
you
if you
torrented,
like, hacks and stuff. But
you
those are things you can do on Apple anyways.
You torrented the new Kanye, and it was a bad mix, I feel like.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely it was.
There's no way for me to prepare,
iTunes,
right?
Man.
No, dude, are you
buy kidding? It on iTunes. It's the only way to get the best product. Quality.
Okay, first of all...
Quality assurance.
I could buy it off iTunes.
How are they supposed to have quality assurance with these fucking... Steam boxes.
You are so wrong.
Basement.
You yeah. are so wrong.
Hey, Mike made a
incredibly
made a
wrong.
Box.
First of all,
these things are going to be sold in the fucking islands at Devonshire Mall, the little kiosks with fucking plastic
that's the thing.
Controllers.
Being a closed,
you know what?
A closed platform like iOS that has to go through like
quality assurance,
strict, yeah, quality. Like, okay, we got to.
And you get what they tell you want, and that's it.
Okay, Illuminati.
Yeah, Apple's the man.
Oh my god.
Have you seen the meme on the internet where it's like...
Dude, Apple has done so much because what if Android has pushed it to do? And even then, it's still not in the same market space, so it could be pushed so much farther.
Sound like a fanboy.
Steambox, I think, is a good idea. Like, I'm making an analogy to Android. Obviously, I'm an Android guy. You guys are iPhones. If it
it's
does fail,
analogy.
That controller thing I did not read about, sounds horrible. I hopefully they will listen to the user feedback when people play with the controller and realize touchpads do not equate to thumbsticks. You know what I mean?
Like you don't have tactile inputs and feedback.
Yeah, the you can't replace the texture and feel of a... Especially for like first-person shooters and shit. That's a horrible idea. They're going to scrap that before it comes out. I feel like I have to. I don't even have to touch it to know it's not going to work well.
we'll take a look at the pictures afterwards.
Yeah, we'll have to do that. Okay, top five. Here we go. Oh shit, shake that ass while moving like the gypsy. Stop, all back it up now, let me see your hips. Top five this week actually comes from Anthony Maria.
Yeah, it was Anthony's idea originally.
Was it really?
Joe had mentioned on a previous podcast, top assholes from, well, the idea was from movies and television. But I've kind of narrowed our focus down to just television.
See, I think my brother just wants to talk about Mad Max all day long. Sorry, Anthony. Just looking for an excuse to talk about Mad Max. But yeah, you restricted it to television. I actually do have a list from Anthony.
I figured
it was his kind of idea. We'll get his top five.
Yeah, I happened to come upon the post where he was like TV asshole or assholes from film or whatever, and I was just like, this is fucking his idea. I gotta give him some props here. So sorry, I narrowed it down to TV. Hopefully, that doesn't mess you up too much, but. I got a giant list, so I'm glad he came up with one.
My idea was to, in the spirit of being an asshole, was to come up with 25 and then announce 5 for each one of yours and yours. but I couldn't come up with... And also, I set criteria for myself that any name that I heard in somebody else's list was off my list immediately.
Yeah.
So it's like, I started...
That's just kindness right there.
I started having to jettison like fucking all kinds of... good quality picks because they were somebody else mentioned them and then my list, there's no way I can come up with 25. I mean, I'm sure I could, but they'd just be boring. I mean, like, one of my fake ones was the wolf that eats the baby antelope in Planet Earth. I think it's in the first episode, that wolf that chases down
for
like 25 minutes. Yeah, Planet Earth's TV.
Scripted television.
I was going to talk about Planet Earth as well, but fuck.
I'm sorry.
The environment and the happening. The wind.
Trees. so that was one of my joke ones. So, like, I've got a pretty solid list, and you know, as long as I'll announce my runner-ups.
I think honorable mentions, as we'll call them, should be part of every podcast, because they're just interesting to kind of ramble off and not talk about them too much. You know, I have a lot, we'll see today, so.
I had a big one I had to take off my top.
Okay, hold on, who's going first?
Well, let me proper introduce this, because I feel like I haven't done a good job. The idea, and hopefully it matches your list well, is to come up with assholes from television shows that you like a lot for whatever reason. It could be you enjoy hating them. It could be they're charismatic. But just add how big of an asshole they are as to how much you like them. And whoever gets the highest score, that's kind of the list that I was kind of hoping to achieve. So,
excellent.
I'll start us off, actually, if you guys don't mind.
Sure.
Just with my number five. It's actually, if you read Facebook, it's not very surprising. Ari Gold from Entourage.
Nice.
Kind of almost my inspiration for the list.
Oh, TJ. Oh, sorry. Let me sit down.
He's off your list now.
Well, hold on. No, it's... Google search it, and his name on the first... The first name on the first link was Ari Gold.
Yeah. Ha! I've never seen that show.
Oh, yeah.
He is one of the best assholes of all time.
I definitely Google searched most of our top fives after I've created it, and I did not do it this time because I had a giant list.
Is that Jeremy Piven? Is that...
Yeah.
The problem... They neutered him in the final season. They ruined his character.
Never watched a single show.
I don't remember.
He's great.
Single episode.
Almost one of the Entourage, one of the top season ones of all time. That would be a good top five. Season ones. Top five season ones.
Yeah.
Entourage.
Look forward to that.
Awesome season one.
Sometime in the next.
Spoiler.
2 years.
Firefly. Number one.
Spoiler. Firefly wins.
Anyone from Firefly make your list?
Game of Thrones. No, I don't have any Firefly assholes.
Okay. Well, we'll come back to that.
So Ari Gold.
Ari Gold. So that's it. Excellent. That's go clockwise here. To Chad.
We're going clockwise. Okay.
Sorry.
Hey, clockwise is all a state of mind. It's all from the perspective of the clock.
We're not looking up from the floor.
The observer to the clock.
The clock is above.
Or
is
below.
Is below us.
Yeah. Below us.
We're not looking through the floor.
Below us.
You all. All right. Is precious to me. Okay, you're number five.
Okay, my number five. Joe, you won't know this. You've watched all of Dexter, right?
I might not have seen the last episode. Go ahead.
Okay, last episode doesn't matter.
Okay, good.
I think it was season 4. Arthur Mitchell, the Trinity Killer.
Yes.
Played by John Lithgow.
Yep.
Yeah.
Ooh, Lithgow.
Lithgow.
That's Barney's dad.
I'm a big fan of John Lithgow.
Absolutely amazing.
Is he an asshole, though?
he's an asshole. He kills people like crazy. And then
he's a psycho.
Yeah, he's... I don't know.
I did love him, though.
I loved him. Like, every time he came on the screen, he owned it. It was horrifying. Like, I remember going back. There's a scene where Dexter attacks him and, like, puts a knife to his throat. And he's like, I'll fucking kill you, kind of, like, threatens him. And I remember thinking, like, wow. Like, that stayed with me for years.
I have my own scene, too. Yeah. And you might remember it as well. There are certain scenes in television I will always remember. I got one from Breaking Bad. I got one from Dexter. And the only one I'll take away from Dexter, probably for the rest of my life, is the second last episode of the season that he was in. He walks into the police station and he goes face to face with Dexter. And he's like, just, hello, Dexter Morgan. And it was like the most tension ever. And I was like, that was like the pinnacle of Dexter for me.
Yeah.
Since then, it was only going downhill. It's still amazing television. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. But it's all downhill from that point, because that was just the amount of tension in that those few words.
That season was amazing.
It was, yeah.
And arguably the only reason to watch that show was John Lithgow. And number five. There we go.
Good choice.
I don't have very much to say about my list.
That's fine. Sorry. We're limited on time.
You know, I expected to have 25. So I didn't really prepare much to say about any of these people. But my number five is Joe Bluth from Arrested Development.
Honorable mention on my list.
As far as I'm concerned, there's very little conflict in that show without Job. Because he's always used as the tool. He's always the catalyst to get one family member's message to another. They use Job.
Yep.
And he's just the best.
And he's a bit unethical. I don't know what the word is.
Will Arnett is the height of fame.
Will Arnett.
Will Arnett's height of fame. He will never play a character better than Joe Bluth.
No, definitely.
He is Joe Bluth.
He was trying to recreate that and fail, as he has many times since.
Also, the voice is disgusting.
As he has.
The voice?
Will Arnett's voice, when he's playing Joe Bluth, like, he just takes it a little bit lower. It's amazing. I could listen. There should be a Joe Bluth podcast.
All right, that's a good choice, definitely.
Moving on.
Like I said, he came across my list, so...
He was on your list?
He didn't crack the top five. He was honorable mention.
So. Numero cuatro.
Number four. Perhaps an obvious one, Walter White.
Yes.
Especially for those who've been keeping up, season five, like, you've really...
I was going to put him as number one, for fuck's sake.
Honestly, the only reason I didn't is because it just seems too obvious of a choice.
Yeah.
He's not obvious.
But he is the best. He's the absolute best.
Well, okay, the reason you might not put him higher up is because you're debating whether he's an asshole until you look back or maybe even rewatch Breaking Bad and you're like, you know what? He's so selfish. He's the asshole who puts on a nice face.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You don't even realize it until you rewatch it, I feel.
He puts it all for, like, it's my family. It's my family. Right.
He pins it all on that, but he's making crazy decisions.
Oh, yeah.
And just fucking people up.
Okay.
Spoilers.
Number four for me, Dwight Schrute.
Yep.
Oh, come on.
The only qualm with that is the debatability of how much of an asshole he truly is.
Oh, he's fantastic. Come on.
Yeah, he's good.
He's an
asshole constantly.
I'm devil's advocate. I agree.
He's the idiot asshole. Like, no.
Yeah.
All right.
My number four is Roger Sterling.
Yes!
The classy asshole.
Oh, he's fantastic.
He's good. And I debated, like, how much of an asshole is he, but he's only nice to, like, three people.
Yeah.
And then everyone else, he's just a complete jerk, too.
Oh, man. When he brings that one guy into the office that used to work there. I forget what his name is.
I don't know. Ducky or...
All right.
Ducky Thompson.
Tony mentioned Don Draper as a little
easy.
Bit of...
Listen, Tony, I'm disappointed. Yeah. That's a little easy.
Is he an asshole, though?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Only so far, so... Okay. Forget easy.
Look at what he's doing to Peggy.
He's my honorable mention.
Okay. Yeah, he was in there just like Tony didn't mention.
Was that your three, four?
No,
that was my number four.
That was your three?
Yeah, so I'm on three now. Oh. So my number three, and probably pretty unique, but I think a quality choice, is Kenny Powers from Eastbound and Down. He is, honestly, he almost topped my list in the
easy
sense that...
Easy pick.
I haven't watched...
He is an easy pick.
I've watched like two episodes.
Well, okay, first of all, I feel like Eastbound and Down is not very well known for some reason, okay?
Okay.
I don't know if that's true or not. Anyways, he's... The biggest asshole that is this character, but he's also meant to be likable in the sense of, like, he's the lead character, he's the protagonist, air quotes, whatever, you know. Yeah. So I thought it was a quality choice.
I would have liked if they tweaked the season three ending just a little bit so that was the actual ending. Do you remember?
No, I don't.
Well, I won't spoil it.
Yeah, okay.
Spoilers.
On to the next. Chad.
My three? All right. You guys are going to see this coming. Okay. Because I love him.
He's justifying it before he tells us.
Because I love him, and he, like, I'm sure everybody who watches the show loves him. They just, everybody on the show hates him.
And I can see where you're going.
Are you're probably my number two pick.
Larry David.
No, okay.
Kirby Enthusiasm.
Yep.
Number three.
He was almost my number one. Yeah. And I kept hearing his name, and I was like, oh, damn, like, get him down the list, get him down the list. But yeah, he's the best. I mean, he is.
The greatest.
Yeah.
Is he an asshole?
Of course.
Okay.
No, he's the asshole we all aspire to be.
Yeah, he's the asshole, like, we all want to be. Yeah, exactly.
He's like, right, the practical, like, just asshole.
Yeah, the honest. Like, speak your mind asshole.
Yeah.
If I speak my mind, I'm considered an asshole. But he doesn't, and it's, fuck, man.
My number three. My number three, another banger. Al Capone, Boardwalk Empire.
Yes.
I mean, he's not the biggest character yet, you know, but every time he's on screen, I'm, like, excited. Yeah. What is this guy going to do?
Yeah.
You know, like, he just talks shit to people, and he's shorter than everybody, so he's always talking up to him, and, like, he's always just a millisecond away from fucking beating the shit out of somebody with a bat. Like, just getting down into it. And in the new season, he's got both his brothers with him, and it's awesome to see their dynamic, like, how they work as a family unit, like, within, like, the organization now. It's fucking awesome. Al Capone, Boardwalk Empire.
I always wait till that show is done its season.
Yeah.
Download it all and then watch it.
I can't do it, man.
I haven't watched it at all.
Because
it's so good to watch
the last, all the way through. Not only the last half, but the last three episodes of that show are always amazing. And it's like, I have to talk about them right away.
Hmm.
You know, and if then it's like you're always not part of the conversation.
No, Jimmy's dead, right?
Well, if it's exactly, just you, yeah. It's not a conversation, so.
So number three, that's Al Capone, Boardwalk Empire.
Good choice.
Yep. All right, number two's Rafi from The League.
Fuck! Fuck you!
Obvious choice. Everybody hates him.
I gotta change my list.
He's not charming by any means, but he is just awesome to watch. So, hilarious.
Fuck you, TJ.
My favorite scene.
Have you seen the most recent episode? It's a Rafi episode.
I don't know what date it
came out yesterday.
Fourth episode of the season? I have not.
Rafi?
Yeah, Brolo.
El Cunada.
he's the best. He has a huge episode.
Does he?
Yeah, watch. Goddamn.
I'm looking forward to it.
Sorry, what's his show called?
The League.
The League.
The League. I have not seen episode of The League.
We watched a little bit of it at Joe's the other day.
Okay,
I
got to change my list a little bit.
All right,
Rafi's got the scene where he's in the bathroom. Somebody walks in on him, and he's totally unembarrassed, and he's just like talking to him. He's like, Rafi, oh, come on, man, what the fuck, you know? And he's like, bro, you're watching it happen right now. You just know he's just shitting right then and there.
Okay, so these are our number twos, right?
Number twos, yeah.
Fuck you.
All right, you got a little time. On to Chad now. Number two.
What's up, baby? This should have been number one, because the most despicable, evil, lovable, incredible, hilarious person in TV history.
That's a lot of buildup.
Newman.
Newman. Easy pick.
Newman. What?
It was on Newman. Google.
Are you kidding me?
Google pick Newman.
Google pick Newman. Fuck you. I knew Newman was the villain.
See, I don't
for
know.
Years.
I would consider Jerry the asshole in all of those situations.
Jerry's Larry David. Jerry and Larry David
actually,
and yet Larry David is on your list.
Yeah.
Jerry Seinfeld from season 7 of Curb was almost on my list. Just like the shit that he pulled, like where he was almost more of an asshole than Larry David in that season, and like every time Larry...
I felt like he was calming the situation down.
Every time Larry had some bullshit thing, Jerry was right there with him, like, I agree. Why do people do this? And they would just nitpick together. another good season of TV.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Newman.
Newman's good.
Probably the best acted character of all time, except for my number one, obviously.
Obviously.
Okay, so Rafi has been eliminated from my list. He was not... He was an important part
If you
part
say
of
my
list.
Number one, I'm walking away.
No. What do you mean? Anyway, Rafi was eliminated from my list, so I now had to promote my number two, so I need a replacement number two. This might be unpopular, but Officer Leahy from Trailer Park Boys? Do you guys, were you ever, like, into that show?
No, I've seen a few episodes, and I know who he is.
He was amazing. Like, he would ruin seasons. Like, for the viewers, for the characters, for everybody. He would just ruin it. And, like, he was just the biggest drunk and very well acted again. Like, the guy who played him was, like, a stage actor.
Yeah.
Like, retired stage actor. And he just, like, picked up on this small Canadian TV show or whatever it was, like, at the time. and turned that role into just, like, one of the greatest characters in TV history. Officer Leahy. I know it's out of date, but try and get through Trailer Park Boys season 1. Season 2, season 3, season 4. Just keep going with it. It's amazing. I watched an entire season of Trailer Park Boys while Tim played video games. Like, and I forget what game he was playing, but it might have been Mass Effect. And he would just... He watched the whole season by looking up at the screen, and he even thought it was good. Like, he was distracted from the game because of how good Trailer Park Boys was. The movies...
That's perhaps the best way to watch
Trailer Park Boys. The movies are not that good, so yeah. They give the whole series a bad reputation, but...
There's been movies?
Yeah, there's a couple movies. Officer Leahy was amazing. There's one season where he's drunk on vodka the entire season. Oh, it's the best.
Do you guys watch Reno 911?
No, but...
I feel like it's a similar concept in feel, at least. And everyone on that show is probably an asshole, because we're all vain and shit. I've seen a few episodes.
Yeah.
Probably if you watched it, we'd probably have an asshole on that list, but...
Are you
on
number one
or
number
now?
Two?
I'm on number one.
Number 1!
Time check.
We got a couple minutes left.
All right.
Perfect.
My number one, no one will relate to, except Dan, who's not here because he's dead to us. Dan died. We didn't intro him because he's dead.
Got hit by a car, he's dead.
Yeah. So, Nathan from Misfits. No one's watched it yet.
From Misfits.
On Dan or mine.
It's your number one.
Sorry, Dan.
Meta pick for a number one?
Absolutely. Dude, I rewatched some best moments for Nathan. He's a very charming asshole, and he's very charismatic, and just hilarious, and just raunchy as well.
Yeah.
He makes Misfits. I mean, that's probably going a little too far, but that show is actually really good with regards to raunchy comedy, and Nathan is just amazing, and he's a constant asshole. Like, on the asshole scale, he's way up at the top. On the likable scale, he's there as well, which is kind of like my two things. You kind of add those together, and you get your quality asshole rating. So,
what is that show? Is it straight comedy or?
It's comedy.
Oh, okay.
It's the premise is basically teens get superpowers from a storm, and then the superpowers have nothing to do with it.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's stupid. Like, the superpowers very little. They're integral in the storyline, but it's all about the characters and how they interact with each other.
Yeah.
And it's just raunchy and funny. It's comedy. That's the only thing you take away from is comedy, but it's very good. I would definitely recommend it. So he, I know, surprisingly, topped my list. But how can you condemn me for making obvious choices?
I said meta pick. Like, it's not obvious. Oh. Oh, you mean like I'm condemning you for both?
Yeah.
Obvious and obscure.
I can only go middle way.
Yeah. No, that's exactly right.
Well, so who is that? Nathan?
Nathan. He actually, who's in the first two seasons, they have two sins, and they replace him with a guy named Rudy, who is actually probably an honorable mention. Rudy's very good as well, but he's not quite as charismatic as Nathan, so, yeah.
Nice.
Anyways, that's my number one. Chad?
All right, I want to give this character the delivery he deserves, because he convinced us so many times that he was the most innocent... fucking brilliant, vile, despicable person you could ever imagine on anything. And the amount of love and joy that he portrayed into this character and just the, you know, the brilliance that he gave it. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to stand up and walk away after I say his name. But here we go. Everybody ready? Ben Linus. And Lost.
Ooh.
Yep.
Very good.
Good choice.
I'm upstairs.
Very good. I'm not a Lost fan, but I was very, I don't want to say attracted to him, but I was attracted to the character. Like, I liked when he was on screen.
You were referring to those torture scenes in the beginning when he claimed to be someone he wasn't, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He definitely had the audience convinced that he wasn't who he said he was.
Exactly.
It was almost too much. I was like, I can't watch this. And then it's just like, you can't look away almost when Ben Linus is on screen.
Yeah. That guy's fantastic.
You guys watch Point of Interest?
No, not a chance.
Thumbs down.
I haven't seen
one episode is all you need.
Person of Interest?
Point of Interest.
Person of Interest.
It has Count of Monte Cristo and Ben Linus.
The combination does not sit well.
My number one is, I mean, he graduated to number one since TJ ruined my list, but number one, Dennis Reynolds from Always Sunny. The guy is conniving. He's vain.
Dude.
He's like, he's so in your face about being an asshole. Like, he's so pretentious. Like, every single episode, nobody can say anything on that show without hearing what Dennis thinks about it. Like, immediately.
He has zero morals.
No.
Like, some character, every character has a bit. Like, 0.1%, just the moral voice in the back
Dennis
of the
system. The Dennis system, like, the way, like, he considers himself the leader of the group, like, immediately, like, as soon as somebody has an idea, he's like, here's my take on the idea. And that's here's what we're going to do for the rest of the episode. And like, some of the stuff that he goes through, like, he'll be conniving for 20 minutes and you have no idea what he's getting at in the episode. And then he'll just, like, reveal his plan at the end. And it's just horrible. Just horrible.
I was thinking, like, the whole cast of Always Sunny could make the list.
Charlie's a sweetheart. Charlie has no, like, actually, there's one episode where he's pretty bad. I don't want to reminisce about it, but
you're right to say though that Dennis is probably a bit of the ringleader. That or maybe Frank, but you're right. Dennis is so vain. He's so he has no morals.
Mac and Charlie are like dopey. They're just like they're there to have fun.
Mac's a schemer though,
playing the Dennis game.
Yeah,
I've actually been compared to Dennis Reynolds by certain people, Jordan Robillard to name one. But I don't know if I can accept that. That title.
Joe's the official asshole ringleader of the group.
Well, no, we were talking about it. If our group of friends was those characters, who would we all be? But
that's a harsh comparison.
Dennis Reynolds, my number one. So does that round out the number ones?
It does.
Yeah.
Hey,
that's it.
I want to pick very fast honorable mentions.
Yeah, I want to say my brother's list first.
Oh, so yeah, Anthony for sure.
So Anthony's number five was Saul Goodman. I'm not familiar.
I was going to put him on there.
Absolutely, honorable mention.
But he's not an asshole. He's fucking awesome. He's
He's a shyster.
He's a shyster, but he keeps honest the whole time. Like,
I don't know.
Number four, Gordon Ramsay.
Nice.
He asked me,
reality
TV. That should be number one. That's fucking
Hell's Kitchen
perfect.
Or whatever.
Gordon Ramsay. I have a reality TV star as well in my honorable mentions.
All right.
Number three, Dennis Reynolds. So with Anthony, I allowed him to have people that were on my list. I allowed myself to have his picks on my list. Okay. Number three, Dennis Reynolds. Number two, Larry David. And number one, Kenny Powers.
Nice. Well done, Anthony. Kenny Powers is a good choice because
Gordon Ramsay is
His character is based around being an asshole.
Gordon Ramsay is the biggest asshole in the planet.
Yeah, and he's real. That's not a character. He's a fucking...
He's a character. Reality TV has characters, and he's one of them.
Man. I've seen that guy explode on people when he was not in character.
If you saw him, he was filmed. He knew he was being filmed. He was playing a character. Point and match.
Do you remember any... Perhaps. Your pal brought up quite a few names. None of us named Game of Thrones characters, which we should probably address.
No, honorable mention.
It's too easy.
It's too easy.
They're all assholes.
The Lannister family.
I was gonna name Robb Stark as one of my assholes. Guy's got something coming. I'll tell you what.
Character in Game of Thrones is an
asshole to somebody.
That's the beauty of Game of Thrones. Yeah. Black and white. Every character's got some demons.
Game of Thrones.
Honestly, user feedback. Okay, Tony, we mentioned your Don Draper. You mentioned House, which is a good choice for those who watch
House. Was good.
Oh, yeah, right.
Kind of an obvious choice, probably, too, as well. But
no way.
I don't watch
House. That guy's an asshole, and he's awesome.
Yeah, but the definition of his character is to be an asshole, right? That's the appeal of the show.
I'm going to let it rip in three.
All right, Chris, Martin, probably not listening to the show, but thank you for your awesome suggestions. I will...
Are you friends with the Coldplay guy?
Yeah, the lead singer Coldplay and me, I got him on my address
book. I need an autograph and I need exclusive demos.
What?
You don't want Coldplay. This guy's cooler than the roller coaster Martin, okay? He mentioned... actually, a lot of his picks were very close to mine, except for Dr. Cox from Scrubs. You guys watch Scrubs at all?
Yeah.
It's a very cheesy...
He's
an asshole.
No.
Google picked it.
No, absolutely not.
That was a great
pick. If you knew Chris, you would
Google
say...
Google picked it.
Walter White, Joffrey, Walder Frey, and Sherlock Holmes, which is actually a pretty good pick.
Benedict?
He's not... Benedict Cumberbatch. He's not a definitive asshole, but he's...
Oh, he is.
He's... Oh, yeah.
He's the brilliant asshole.
He's the brilliant asshole. He reminds me of Sheldon, who is an honorable mention from Big Bang Theory.
I like Sheldon.
Sheldon, you know, you absolutely love
I'm
him.
I'm, like, completely turned on that show.
No show I hate?
I love that show now.
Okay. Well, it's always been good.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean... go ahead.
yeah, so... No, those are the suggestions from our users. Honorable mentions, if you want to go...
I'll go first.
Yep.
Honorable mentions, Mendez... From Orange is the New Black.
Which character is that?
Mustache cop.
Yep.
Ryan Howard from The Office.
Nice.
Dwight Schrute. Oh, we said that already.
Rafi was my number one.
Yep.
Who's
Rafi? No, we said it already.
From The League.
The League.
Oh.
Larry David from Curb.
Okay.
Kenny from Kenny vs. Spenny. Hmm. Wilfred.
Nice.
That's a good one.
Actually. Holy shit, who was that?
I had Wilfred as well.
Me. That was my honorable mention.
Kenny vs. Spenny?
Kenny from Kenny vs. Spenny was my honorable mention. It didn't make my top five. Wilfred from Wilfred, Dave Hester from Storage Wars, Pete Campbell from
Dave
Mad Men.
Dave Hester.
Dave
Hester's the, that's a $5.
Oh, really? Yeah. No, I'm talking about the Yup guy.
That's, shit, what is his name?
I don't know.
Oh, another fucking Roman's gonna freak out at this one.
Yeah, he's roaring right now. He sent me two texts.
I know.
Were those on Facebook or text?
Yeah. Treme and
oh yeah, they were on Facebook. Yeah, he's like, I was roaring it. He had to get off the treadmill at his physio. Or not his physio, but his like
Stringer.
I had to get off the treadmill listening to that.
You know what, that makes this real for me. I'm glad someone's listening. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, what the hell is his name?
I don't know.
We're talking about
what are we talking about again?
You're talking about Stringer Bell?
No, Storage Wars.
Storage Wars. Dave Hester.
Who cares? No one watches that show.
Yeah, Dave Hester is, that's a $5 bill.
Fuck.
Oh, I got some good choices here. I got to represent the people here. Someone out there is a Californication fan, and they're saying Hank Moody.
Dan likes Californication. No, he doesn't. Dan likes Shameless.
Dan's not a listener. Fuck him. He's dead to us.
Dan listens.
Californication. Hank There's Moody is an excellent asshole. Another one for the ladies. Sawyer from Lost.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sawyer's, he's a traditional asshole.
That's who I thought about first before I put Ben Linus. I
Google
like,
pick.
Sawyer.
He's and so good looking.
Like, Google pick Sawyer, but not Ben Linus.
You're right. He did. No, that's because... No.
Be better than Google, TJ.
My list was
be better than
my
Google.
Brains.
Dude, you gotta mention Sawyer.
Be better than Google.
I got
we,
the brains.
We need to get that female audience.
I got the brains, and my brains picked it.
I'll tell you what picked mine.
No one's watching House of Lies, so I'm going Don Cheadle from, I don't even know his character name, from House of Lies. Watch that show.
Don Cheadle wasn't in TV.
Moving on. Gaius Balta from Battlestar, which you guys refused to watch.
Gaius?
I watched it.
What are you talking about? I watched it.
Alright, good. Did you really?
Well, except for the last season.
I watched the first 3 minutes of every episode.
I so wanted to love Gaius.
I would put it on Netflix and fall asleep within the first 3 minutes, and then I'd immediately put on the next episode and learn everything that happened in the episode before it.
Well, that's every show.
Previously on Battlestar Galactica, 20 minutes.
surprised you didn't mention Jane from Firefly. I guess is a traditional asshole.
Who?
Jane.
Yeah, he's right.
The hat wearing. And then for our newsroom fans, Will McAvoy is,
Oh, yeah. Have you seen the new photo of, Dumb and Dumber?
Yep.
Or Dumb and Dumber 2?
Buying it.
All I see is Will McAvoy. With a wig on.
I don't know.
What do you mean?
You know what
I haven't seen it. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening this week. That's our show. Episode 41. I'm TJ. To my right, I've got...
Joe. And you can, find us on facebook.com/allrangemodepodcast. We're also at allrangemode.ca, or you can find us on iTunes under All Range Mode. Please comment, please send us some feedback, and let us know what you thought, and we'll definitely talk about it on the next episode.
You know what, Joe did a bad job at that. I'm Chad, and you know what, if you want to email us and stuff, any of your questions, podcast@allrangemode.com/ca.
Nope.
podcast@allrangemode.ca, because we're Canadian.
Joe.
And it's awesome, you know. So, yeah.
And with that,
Rain.